Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
How's everybody doing today? Good? Well, it's good to be home. Good to be here in Brisbane. I bring greetings from our Every Nation Church in Nigeria. I was just there. I know kids are more exciting than... It's all right. I'm not offended. That's why my Instagram is just packed with pictures of my kids, because they're way more interesting. But I just came back from our Every Nation Church in Nigeria. They had a massive worship conference there. The last one they had was in 2009, and so this is 5 years later. And I've been telling people, different people here. I was talking to Talitha about it yesterday. Just you know, how you get in an environment like that where there's the worst kind of urban poverty that you will see on the planet, and see the level of faith that they have in the midst of what they don't have, and it just brings you to naught in terms of your interpretation of how much faith you thought you had. And so, you know, being in that environment where members of the church have had death threats and are on fatwa lists, which is the radical Muslim basically kill list, and they're just talking like nothing, you know, like God is good, and you know, my office just got blown up by a suicide bomber, but you know. And they're just talking like this, like casual, and I'm just sitting there just holding back tears, because I realize how, you know, here I am complaining about the petty things, that when am I going to be able to get good cable, or, you know, when is Commonwealth Bank going to be able to do this for me? And here's them, you know, literally picking up their cross and following Jesus. You know, how many of you know the cross is more than just an ornamental thing you wear around your neck? It's actually a death instrument. It's an instrument for death and execution. And so my encouragement just for all of us this morning is to realize how much we take for granted. And it's always good to go on trips like this to expose ourselves to what is out there. I know we've got a lot of brothers and sisters here from the Philippines, but you'll be surprised how many people, even in Manila, are unaware of what really happens in places like Tondo and, you know, up in the Smoky Mountain area. They're just oblivious to the level of poverty, even within their own city. And so, you know, just it's always refreshing in a very convicting kind of way to see that happen. And, you know, a lot of you may be aware of what's happening in the Middle East right now, both in Israel with Palestine and then even with the Christians in Iraq right now. It really puts us in position to, you know, to really think through what we often take for granted as followers of Christ in the West. And then, of course, I just wanted to talk about this guy here as well. So moving back to the West, we hear of this great comic legend, Robin Williams, who died at the age of 63, unfortunately, through suicide. I was listening to an interview with him, and it became quite evident that a man who made a living out of putting himself out in front of people in the most exposing way. If you've ever watched Robin Williams do live stand-up comedy, he is fighting more than probably most stand-up, if probably the most out of all stand-up comedians, for the attention and the affection of his audience. Trying different personalities and just moving at lightning speed with his comic routines. And so whether it was back in the early 80s, late 70s with Mork and Mindy, how many of you grew up watching Mork and Mindy? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You are old. You are old. And my hand is up. Or, you know, later into his latter years with, you know, I mean, winning Academy Awards for Good Will Hunting as the best supporting actor, or whether it was... what was the one in the school? Dead Poets Society, you know, like a very, very wide range. But a lot of his life was spent on stage. And you see a lot of these comics, probably the closest comic to him in terms of just being so gregarious and fighting for the attention of his audience is someone like Jim Carrey in the modern day. But even Jim Carrey is very different from Robin Williams. There's genius, but you can see this tenderness and this earnest desire to be loved. from him, and it's quite unfortunate that his life ended the way it did, in suicide. And so we have these trials in the West and the East. None is more than the other, but like this is the society that, you know, this is the age of which we live in. Now we can, as Christians in the modern day era, we can sit at the rapture bus stop waiting for our ship to come in and go, you know, let's predict when Jesus is coming back in, because obviously all these things are happening at the Middle East, and then all this stuff is happening out here in the West. So let's try and calculate when Jesus is coming back. But how many of you know that that's not good theology or eschatology? Eschatology simply means the study of the end times. But good theology or eschatology will have us activated to understand that this world needs love, and the love of Christ, not our attempts at love, but needs the love of Christ more than ever before. And if anybody is going to change this planet, it's going to be his church. And so we remember, again, I wanted to base this off that verse that you've never heard before. John, I think it's chapter 3, verse 16, I think it is. And for God so loved the world. Okay, firstly, we understand that God is the initiator of love. And he didn't just love us. You know, 1 John goes on to say that we love because he first loved us. Same author, writing about the same Jesus. The author John is the one who would put his head on his chest, you know, hear the heartbeat of God wrapped in human flesh. How awesome would that have been? And so he knows about the love of God. For God so loved the world. And that word so, like I said, is like a valley girl from California. Like so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now you got to understand, you know, we think we're awesome, like a Samoan. Now from Australia, going to Nigeria, we think that's awesome. Like, I'm a cross-cultural missionary. But you know, let me tell you something. To leave the culture of heaven where you are adored by angels and leave that culture there and come and be born in a farm cave where nobody knows who you are and being rejected even before you're born by hotel owners. Sorry, Sheraton's got no room for you. You're going to have to go down to Holiday Inn. Holiday Inn's got no room for you. But hey, I heard there's a farm down the road. And the farmhouse, I'm sorry, ma'am, you got no room around here, but we got a cave at the back. You want to give birth there? You know, so the king of all heaven is born. And you got to understand, for those of you who've been to Israel or have been exposed to what a manger looks like, because a farm looks different in Australia and New Zealand, where I'm initially from, than it does in Israel. They feed cows in caves and sheep in caves. And so that's where the Savior of the universe was born. But he, God, so loved us that he sent his son. See, because in order to save from the lowest of the low, he had to become the lowest of the low. He would talk about how foxes have holes, but even the Son of Man would not have a place for his head to rest or for him to. He was homeless. Jesus was homeless. He left the culture where streets are made of gold. Streets are made of gold. He left that culture to join this culture. That's cross-cultural missionary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him would not die, but have everlasting life. If you want to understand what this life is all about, which is unfortunate for our brother here, Robin Williams, who never was able to tap into what that was, that love. You begin to understand that the clues are found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ being sent from heaven for you and I. What's amazing about Jesus is that if you look on any historian's list who studied the history of people, Jesus Christ will always be amongst the top five people who have affected the planet the most. Most of them would say number one, but he's always in the top five. Always in the top five. And it's interesting to note that he exists in the top five amongst people like Isaac Newton, like Muhammad and Buddha. But all of these people's lives who are in the top five are celebrated because of what they taught in their life or what they achieved in their lifetime. Jesus' life was far more amazing than any of those lives. In fact, those lives put together. I don't care what apple falls on top of Isaac Newton's head. I mean, he was a great theologian who wrote more about theology than he did about science, if you actually look at what he wrote. But when you look at Muhammad, when you look at Buddha, unfortunately, the reason why Jesus drops down the list is because it's us Christians who haven't adhered to the message the same way that the followers of Muhammad or Buddha have to the ways of their teacher. But what's celebrated more about Christ is not necessarily the fact that he would bring people back to life from the dead. It's not necessarily that he gave the most amazing teachings that this planet has ever seen. I mean, you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, the Sermon on the Mount, some of the most amazing teaching that you'll find ever exist on this planet, a good basis for any life. But it's not his life or his teachings that are celebrated the most. It's his death. It's in the way that he died that you find meaning for your life. And so what I wanted to look at today, what I wanted to point towards today, is actually understanding the gospel wrapped up in this presentation from years, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever existed, where we find the love of God exemplified. Before I go there, I think it's important to look at this verse from Romans. Again, it's not that familiar, but some of you might remember this one. This is an oldie but a goodie, like an old dedication. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die." Now, I want you to see how Paul is writing this and setting this up. So most of us in this room would not die for just anybody. Like, it's rare for anybody to die just for a good person you don't know. But if you know a good person, especially if they're within close proximity to you, you'd probably lay your life down. But look at what God does. Through sending his son, Jesus Christ, because he so loved you. Check this out. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While you were still a sinner, Christ, I hope you can wrap your mind around that. While you're still a sinner, some of us, well, I didn't sin that much. I'm not in prison. I haven't done that much, you know. I didn't steal anything. All that sort of. Let me tell you something. When you look at the standards that God presents in his law. See, some of us think we almost made it. We set God's law as like a limbo bar that we high jump over. Like I almost made it, but my little toe just scraped it. So maybe I am a sin. No. This thing makes the Great Wall of China look like a block of Lego. The law, in terms of the righteousness of God. And see, the higher your view of grace, the higher your view of the law. Because you will begin to understand that it's not just something you can pole vault over even. Like, this wall, you can't see the top. Just in terms of being able to enter heaven on your own pure righteousness. It's impossible. So, while we were yet sinners, unable, totally unable. I don't care how many years you've been at church. Many of you have heard that terrible joke that pastors continuously use, but it still remains effective here. That, you know, you being in church doesn't make you any more a Christian than you being in KFC makes you a three-piece pack. It doesn't, right? The venue doesn't matter. And let me tell you, as someone who's been in church, like born practically under the church organ. You know, like that's how long I've been in church. It doesn't matter how much you gave earlier today or all of that. Doesn't matter. I mean, anything you do in life is a thank you for what he's already done, because he first loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for you. Christ died for me while you were a sinner. So you see this picture of the law that's impossible to scale. And then you see how far, like, your sin is vile in the eyes of God. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. And I know, you know, this is a family show, but so we can't talk about what that means in the Hebrew. But I encourage you to, you know, it literally means disgusting. Your righteousness, your best attempts at righteousness. So if you showed up at church today to kind of get some sort of righteousness check mark, on your resume when you get to the fabled St. Peter at the gates or whatever it may be. Let me tell you, it's not going to be that way, because her righteousness stinks in the eyes of God. While you were yet a sinner, while I was definitely a sinner, Christ died for us. And what's amazing about it, see, this is the thing, like, okay, I'm going to admit something, and I need you to not question my manliness when I admit this, all right? But on my flight back over here, and I need you to pray for me, because I don't know what time zone I'm in right now, because I've been in Singapore and then came here for 4 days and then flew to Dubai, went to Nigeria. On the way back, I went to Dubai, Singapore, and then back here. And so on the way back here, this is how, like, twisted my mind got, not knowing where I was. On the way back here, I watched the Justin Bieber movie, Believe. I said, don't question. Some of you are like, I'm never coming back to this church again. Like, the pastor watched Justin Bieber, Believe. My gosh. By himself, by the way. I watched it, you know. I'm willing to admit my faults, you know. So anyway, as I'm watching this, I am seeing how obsessed these young girls are with Justin Bieber. It's pretty terrible. And they're crying and they're fainting and, you know, they start getting the leg twitch. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, like, and it's what's sad, you know, like, I'm praying my daughter's, you know, whoever it's going to, because Justin Bieber is on the way out. One Direction's going in that direction. So I don't know who the hot teenage heartthrob is going to be when my daughters grow up. But, you know, if they were ever to experience like that, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, you know, like, X guy is, you know, I'm going to have to break it to them, you know, like, do you realize you say how much you love this person, but they don't even love you back? I mean, when Justin Bieber sings baby, 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 oh baby, he is pointing to different girls every time he says baby, 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 oh baby, you're oh baby, you know. He doesn't know who you are. And even worse than that, he doesn't even know you exist. You can just see my daughter's eyes, shattered dreams and... But imagine God on a whole new level. Like, a lot of people in Brisbane, in this great city of ours, on this campus, don't know about God. And don't even know he exists. But he furiously loves them like this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and he's furiously after them with his love. This love comes upon them like a tidal wave. He still loves them. He's obsessed with them. The Bible even says that he watches over us in our sleep, in our slumber. That's pretty, like, if it was a human, that's stalking. I think that's what they call it. But that's the sort of love that God has for you. He's like watching. Oh, look at him. Look at him with that apnea. Isn't that... So beautiful. That's right. Open up. Breathe again, you know. He obsesses over you. He is wrecked for you. His love for you moved him so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, out of the culture of heaven where he was worshipped towards you, because he... Forget about fan mail. I mean, God sent his son. Because he obsesses over you. And because he loves you so much. That's the love he has for you. Now let me take this to the next level. Because I was talking about, there's somebody in that exemplifies the gospel a few hundred years before Jesus even came on the scene. And this is found in this book of the Bible. This one, for real, is not read that often. But I want to kind of go there today. And it's the book of Hosea. You want to talk about obsessive love. So God sends this prophet, Hosea. And see, the prophets at that time are considered the spokespeople, the spokesmen of God. And what's amazing about the prophets in that time is that they not only spoke God's word, but they embodied it. Like they actually had to live it out as a living example of what of the word that they were speaking. And so God sent Hosea to the people of Israel. And he said to Hosea, I want you to marry this prostitute. And her name is Gomer. That's a pretty rough deal for old Gomer, you know, having a name sounding like a Muppet. I want you to marry a prostitute named Gomer. And then in your marriage to her, you're going to have children. And these children have really terrible names. I don't have time to go through and break down all the names today. I encourage you to read it. This is all in chapter 1 of Hosea. So he marries this lady of the night named Gomer and has these three children, son, daughter, son. So they married for about two, scholars believe around 3 years, and then Gomer does a runner and basically leaves and goes back to the red light district of Israel. What's amazing about it is that God tells Hosea, go down and find her. And when you find her, marry her again. There's no divorce that's happened. And you can imagine, okay? I don't know about here in, well, here in Australia, there are different views on pastors as spokespeople of people. Like, this guy is the only spokesperson at that time as a prophet of God. So there's a certain prestige that comes with the association as the priest, as the prophet, I should say, of God at that time. So can you imagine? Okay, I want you to think of the most regal spokesperson of God. At that time, he is told, he's commanded by the God of Israel to go down into the red light district and to find Gomer again. Can you imagine the ridicule? Like, I grew up in Samoa, as a Samoan. I grew up in New Zealand, but I grew up as a Samoan. And my dad was a whaifiao, was a pastor or a reverend in the Congregational Church. And we esteem our pastors, our reverends, our whaifiaos. That if we ever saw a whaifiao on, you know, in the red light district in Auckland Central where we grew up is K Road or Karangahape Road. If you ever saw your whaifiao walking around K Road, oh my goodness, you know, the ministry would be over. Especially in this day of social media. So can you imagine? Much more prestigious than, you know, our system of whaifiaos. This priest of Israel goes into the red light district and he is interviewing people that know fully who he is. Customers, let's just say customers. Hey, have you seen Gomer? Because this is where he found her in the first place. Have you seen Gomer? Oh, it's you. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know how people get when they see pastors and all. Hello, po. Philippines, hello, po. Oh, praise the Lord. You're looking for Gomer? Well, who's Gomer? I don't know. You know, goes to the next guy. Oh, my bad. I didn't know you two were still together. So I kind of like, you know, I'm really sorry, pastor, you know. And so he's going down the red light district. Can you imagine this in this context of Brisbane, the red light district here? This esteemed man of God. It's somebody like a, you know, like a pastor of a large church. I won't mention names, but, you know, going down the red light district, interviewing prostitutes and customers and pimps, finally finds her on the selling block. And she's out there, basically trafficked, but on her own will, she voluntarily left to go back to that lifestyle because of the fulfillment that she thought she would have there, but she's back on the selling block. And this is where we meet chapter 3 of Hosea. As we go there, I'll have it up on the screen for you. It says here, and the Lord said to me, this is Hosea writing, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, Even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. See, cakes of raisins are definitely not eaten culturally by Israelites, because you're mixing bread and fruit in a way that's not cultural to them. And so I want you to watch this. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will also be in you. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. Sorry, I'm reading that again. For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return, seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall come in fear to the Lord, to his goodness in the latter days. Now, I want you to note this as we go back. He's there at the block, seeing her amongst all the other ladies, and he purchases her back. And even the significance, again, if you love something, you will happily give over in abundance. And so he sees her and he gives this gift. Now let me break down what the gift is. We go back. Shekels of silver, 15 shekels of silver. Some of you may see that, okay, some silver and some barley, but there's a lot of significance in what is actually happening here, because silver is the metal that signifies divinity. 15 shekels of silver. 15 is the number of God's energy, or, you know, like his enthusiasm, his energy towards us. 5 is, and then if we look at lekteth of barley, that's 5 sheaves of barley. It's just a fancy way of saying 5. It's 5 sheaves. And 5 is the number of grace. And then bushels of barley represent, obviously, humanity. We see that in Joseph in his dream. Humanity bowing. Are you seeing the gospel there? Like, even in the 15, God's energy towards us in his divinity. And then us receiving his grace as humanity. I love it too, because Hosea, in Hebrews, Hoshea, which is the same root word for the name of Joshua and Jesus. God saves, salvation, Hosea. And then even in the name of Gomer, Gomer means perfection or completion. So even in their names, even in the gifts that were given, you see a beautiful picture of just how much God was willing to not just scale over an unclimbable wall, but to break it down. His love shatters that wall, reaches down from heaven, and is poured down into your spirit and says, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter, with this adoration, this raging love that I have for you. I'm willing to kick down any doors of reputation. I don't care what people think of me. I'm going to come down as the lowest of the low because I love you. And I want to fill you with this love to overflow. So who is Hosea? Obviously, it's Jesus. Who is Gomer? Me. I am Gomer. I am Gomer. I am the one who has stood and said, I've been married to God as his bride, as a part of his bride, but settled and prostituted myself for smaller husbands. And if we're real in here, I know there's a whole lot of Gomers in here with me as well. But it's in that understanding of just how fallen we are and in desperate need of his grace, the grace of Hosea / Yeshua, Jesus Christ, that we begin to see the beauty of this picture of his love, his insatiable, unquenchable love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Think about it. How many of us have allowed the things of this world to distract us away from the home, being here amongst the home of the perfect husband and us collectively as the bride of Christ, distracted and being lured away to what this world has to offer us. Next week, we're going to start a series called Centered, and we're going to be looking at the book of Colossians over a period of time, probably about 2 months, because I believe that in order to live a life centered around the person of Jesus Christ, which I know is the desire of all of you here today, it's a refreshing, it's a renewing of the understanding of the cross. And we will not, you know, you're going to get bored if you don't, at this church, if you don't like hearing about Jesus, especially the cross. This is a Christ-centered cross preaching church, and we will preach the cross because it's the power of God to salvation to those who believe. It's the gospel, and the gospel is the center point for all of scripture, for all of history. And so, you know, my heart for all of us, what's going to break depression, like my brother Robin Williams, I wish he had heard the gospel. I wish he had experienced the gospel. Or these Muslims that are persecuting Christians, like real Christians, not religious dressed up like Christians, but real Christians who know about their Gomerness in light of the love of Jesus. That's what's going to change this planet. That's what's going to change this city, is a people who will say, you know what? I'm coming off the selling block. I realize just how vile I am in sight of the Lord. My righteousness is like filthy rags, but I thank him that if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. I'm a new creature. The old has gone. My identity is not in the former things or the things of old. He gives me new garments of praise. He gives me beauty for ashes. And I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He is worthy of my worship more than just a song. And I want to thank, you know, those of you who are in this room today and saw that we didn't have drums and thought, well, I can't worship Jesus unless there's drums. People are dying in the Middle East for their faith, and we're going, oh, I don't think I can lift my hands because I don't have drums to drum my hands up. It's pretty pathetic, don't you think? You know, I think that when we are a church that realizes and are real with our Gomerness, then we begin to understand the grace of God in a much more beautiful way that empowers us to overcome sin and death and the grave and habits and things that have enslaved us for so long, mentalities. And we begin to make disciples in the same grace. You know what? I'll just say this too. Like, I used to be one of those disciplers. Let me just reveal to you, discipler is not a word, by the way, in the English dictionary. But I used to be one of those disciplers who used to think, yeah, man, I'll disciple him. I'll bash him. I'll kick him, you know. But when I realized my Gomerness, I love with a new love now. You know, it's not about bashing them into the kingdom of God and, you know, legalism and try to, you shouldn't go out with them. You should, you know, do this and that. Yes, there's a place for counsel. But in the end, as a disciple maker, my job is to lead them to hear the voice of God. And obedience is up to them. But I'll model the obedience in my obedience to the Lord. Like, if I really want a brother or sister to walk in faith, I better be modeling it for them. You don't want to be the uncle who said he used to play for the All Blacks or wished he could have played for the All Blacks and thinks he can turn around and tell young guys how they should play for the All Blacks when they've never even touched a rugby ball in 20 years. Don't be that sort of discipler. Remember your Gomerness. Remember just how far from which you've fallen, and that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you and Christ loved you. He loves you. And some of you may be in this room hearing this for the first time. I'm here to tell you today. And you've been in church your whole life and you've never heard this. My goodness. He loves you. He says to you in Chinese, well, I need. He loves you so much. With this furious, insatiable love. Everything that we do from this point on, look at me. Look at me. Don't be distracted. Everything that we do from this point on is not to attain this love, but it's to thank him for the love. It's a response. Your response in worship is always in line with the revelation that you receive. So if you receive this revelation, there's a thankfulness that just leaps out of your heart. And I'm not trying to force that response, because it's the Holy Spirit that draws man to repentance, to true repentance, not out of a methodical, I need to follow the purple book or the one-to-one program. There's power in establishing foundations through those programs, but they're just tools. Again, we're not after religious check marks or tick marks. We are after loving Jesus with all our hearts because of what he first did for us. And it's in that atmosphere we're going to see this city transformed. Amen? Stand to our feet. Let's pray. Let's all just bow our heads. I just want us to just contemplate and think over what we've heard today. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Even that sentence, Lord, it just sounds pitiful in light of what you've done. I mean, my goodness, nothing compares to. No words can express our thankfulness for this love. And so we're asking God, we're asking today, firstly, that you'd forgive us for allowing our affections to be swayed towards smaller husbands. For having one night stands with other gods. Lord, we know at the root of every sin is the sin of idolatry. And Lord, we are asking for your forgiveness. We're thanking you that it's through the cross that we, while we were sinners, you died for us. You laid your life down that we would be forgiven. And so, Father, everything from this point on as a follower of Christ is a thank you. We just want to thank you so much for all that you've done. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask this morning, if there's any of us in this room, I really want to pray for those of us in this room that find ourselves, you know, and with real talk, with, you know, we find ourselves on the selling block. And I know that's rather bold to even think of ourselves in that way, but if we've sold out for a love that's lesser than the agape love of God, and we've been driving our affections towards things that will never fulfill us, things of this world, and they've taken precedence over the love of God. And God, much like Hosea in this point of history that we read about, is ushering us towards himself, having paid the full price. See, a lot of people don't understand that Gomer already belonged to Hosea, but he was willing to pay the price again. See, even from the moment of our creation, we belong to God, and yet he was still willing to leave heaven and pay for us again in the Son and his death. So even today as we're here, I just want to ask if there's anybody here today who by the grace of God would say, Pastor Nelly, I need you to pray for me. I'm coming back to Jesus. I'm coming back to Hosea. I'm my Hosea being God. And I'm leaving my lifestyle behind me. And I'm fully going for him. That's you today, with no one else looking around, wanting to make that commitment. Can you just lift your hand so I can pray for you today? Awesome. Just keep your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your hands up. I'm going to pray for you today. Lord, I just pray for my brother and my sisters who have made that commitment today. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that as you're ushering us towards yourself, I thank you that you've purchased us. You're causing us to leave behind all things. I know there's even a fear that's trying to come on us that nothing will ever change. We just break the voice of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. It's going to change because your grace changes everything. It transforms everything. And Lord, the impossible becomes possible, just like we sang earlier, because of your life-changing grace. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that it is a symbol of just how much you love us. And Lord, I'm praying that for these four who have put their hands up, Lord, that they would indeed today, God, experience the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause them not just to make right decisions, but just to be transformed with the love that you have for us, God. Be the reason that we smile. Be the reason that we converse and are different, God. Transform us and change us from the inside out. And I thank you, Lord, that as your Spirit goes with them, they'll never be the same. Just for those of you, no one else, just those of you who have your hands up, just look at me real quick. Just want to encourage you. You've made the best decision you could ever make in your life. And I want to encourage you, we'll have leaders up the front afterwards. Rasheen, myself, and Dave, and Kim, and some other leaders will be up the front here. I really encourage you, because you can't just make this decision and just walk out. You really need to solidify by getting some people around you who will show you how to, you know, get the Word of God inside you. And if you don't know how to pray, they'll show you how to pray and give you everything that you need to live victorious after what's happened here. Cool? Okay, everybody can look up at me. How many of you are thankful that you've been bought with a price and you belong to God? Go ahead and give Him praise today. Come on, praise Him like you're no longer Gomer. He's given you a new identity. Okay, sit down. Gotta make an announcement. Man, this is okay. So I just started pastoring here, so we make decisions on the fly. I'm trying not to, but many of you, and I want to thank you for really pressing in today, despite the distractions and things that were happening, and the security guard coming in earlier. Unfortunately, here at UQ, I think in this vicinity upstairs, for some reason they're doing experiments on Sunday. I mean, who does that? Who does that, right? On a Sunday, the weather's nice outside. I mean, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, go to church. If you're not, go out and enjoy the sun. But the S-O-N, I mean. Anyway, upstairs they're holding experiments that are sound sensitive. And even though we didn't have drums today, they were still able to hear the sound in this room. So I have to make an announcement that we won't be meeting in here next week. Someone will go, ooh. In fact, we won't be meeting on UQ next week. I'm going to get Lily to explain where we're going to be meeting next week, and then I'll close it.
All right. So we'll be meeting at 102 Kangaroo Point. Some of you were already there last time. And so it's on Main Street, Kangaroo Point. So you can catch the ferry there. It's for free. City Hopper. It's free when coming from behind the building, and it's right, the building is right there as well, and so they've given us the building from, service will start at 3, so same time, 3 p.m. onwards, so don't be late because it's later on, so no excuse to be late, so make sure you're there on time, so 102 Main Street, Kangaroo Point. All right, check out our Facebook as well if you want more information, or you should have Myrtle's phone number. Cool? Thank you.
Yay, Jesus. Okay, just so you know, I know that, you know, how many of you read the book Good to Great? It says don't make quick changes when you're trying to get people used to you. I'm really sorry that this has happened, and I really apologize for any inconvenience, but we are the church on the move. So please do tell everybody. We'll put it up on our social media sites with Mike and the rest of our team. But we'll try and get the if you have any questions regarding it, please come and ask us afterwards. We'd be happy to help you. But thank you so much for adjusting with all of this. So 3 p.m. next week, we will see you there. Right, and I think I should close it now. Father, I want to thank you so much. We're no longer Gomers, but we're your sons and daughters. And no matter where we are, whether we're here, there, anywhere, we're yours. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything, please do come up and see us after the service. Please do stick around if you want to hang out. But God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week ahead. Peace.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.